Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
How'd you like that sandwich?
Good.
Yeah, you know, do you actually know what sandwich I'm talking about?
Yes, the one you picked me up.
Yeah, the one we just got today. Yeah, you know, it was a really good sandwich. So stock nerds, before we get into, when you have a week like this in the markets, it's oft times better to not start with something cliche. How do you like that volatility, Danny? Which is dumb. Markets in correction, market sell-off. We need a special show at 7 o'clock CNBC, which is a waste. I think a sandwich tip is actually helpful here. So I've got one. So you enjoyed it.
I thought it was good.
Never had it before.
Never had that Philly cheesesteak from there.
Right.
So I've had sandwiches from there, just not that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the best sandwich they make.
Oh, really?
I think so. So stock nerds and market lovers, before we begin, before we get started on this week's sojourn, if you have a Jersey Mike's by your house, now listen, there's very few. I don't even think there is a good place to get cheesesteaks.
That's a chain, though.
No, I know. Let me finish. I don't think there's a good place to get cheesesteaks, really, that's not chain related in Dallas.
I have not found one in Dallas. There's actually a decent one up in Allen, but I haven't found one.
Right, I haven't found one. And so there's a Jersey Mike's. Now they're dependent. They're independent, meaning the quality of the sandwich, like in Rockwall, is horrible. So the quality of a Jersey Mike sandwich out in Rockwall is terrible. And by the way, if there's anyone who has connections to the people from Jersey Mike's, let them know that, please, because the one in Richardson is nothing short of fantastic. And so I enjoy the one in Richardson. I do not enjoy the one out in Rockwall.
No quality control.
The Rockwall Jersey Mike's is not a good shop. It smells, and I don't... It's just not a good, it might not even be from Jersey, like the people from Jersey might not even let that Jersey Mike's back in the state. But the sandwich, you want to get, stock nerds, is the Chipotle chicken cheesesteak. It is nothing short of fantastic. So with that, let us begin this week's edition of Your Money Radio. We'll get you everything that I think you want to know about this market and where it potentially is headed and a whole bunch of other type things that I think are going to help you this week. But it helps to set the stage a little bit, Daniel. So I want to read something to you in a little segment I like to call Tim Reads to People.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, Tim Reads to People is it's a fan.
It's your favorite.
It's my favorite thing. So are you ready here?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Are you ready for... Now listen, these things...
Do you want me to be honest? Or
No, I want you to... No, I do want to be honest. But listen, these things here... that I read, they always tie in, and the whole show becomes contiguous by the time we're done with it. And so here we go. Tree glut uproots Southern investors. Okay, so low prices for, God, I'm already at the first word that's kicking my ass. Take a look at that. Take a look at that tree name right there. I want to call it the lullaby tree, and I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
Loblolly.
Right, okay,
Loblolly.
So not just
Loblolly.
Me. We're going with
Loblolly.
I'm going with the lullaby tree.
Okay.
It's a type of pine, and it's planted decades ago, and it's upending plans for college educations and retirement. So listen to this, Daniel. Starkville, Mississippi. Over the past 100 years, the George family's farm has been sharecropped, grazed by cattle, and planted with cotton. By the late 1980s, Clayton George was growing soybeans and struggling to make ends meet. I've got a really good radio voice today.
You do?
Yeah, I know. I'm hearing myself, and God, I sound sexy. A new federal program offered farmers money to reforest depleted land. Pine trees appealed to Mr. George. He bought the lullaby seedlings and pulled his pickup into a parking lot where Hands for Hired congregated. Where I used to work, they called that a Home Depot. We figured we'd plant trees and come back and harvest in 30 years, and in the meantime, go into town and make a living for doing something else. 3 decades later, the trees are ready to cut, and Mr. George is learning how many other Southerners had the same idea. A glut of timber, what the markets did this week, has piled up in the Southeast. There are far more ready-to-cut trees than the region's mills can saw or pulp. This has crushed timber prices in Mississippi, Alabama, and several other states. It has been a big loser for some financial investors as well, among them California's pension fund, the California Public Employees. Yeah, they've lost $2 billion in this. But, excuse me, there is a parable here. There is something that I need to translate to you, stock nerds, because what I just described to you is the herd mentality. Oh, excuse me, Danny. Cover
there,
for
there,
me.
There goes your radio voice. You sounded sexy.
Son of a gun. Here we go.
I knew it wouldn't last.
We got it back now. The herd mentality. What I just described to you is what Mr. George did, going to plant his trees. He didn't, unbeknownst to him, because he was told that he, now I'm paraphrasing here, that he is special. He has told himself that he is the only, could be possibly being the only one doing this. He had it in his mind that, did it ever cross my mind that maybe by the time this is all done, that a million other people are doing the exact same thing at the exact same time, and that would decrease prices? Never crossed his mind, apparently. Now, it's all easy to say in hindsight, but stock nerds, now here's the parallel. So what you're doing in 60-40 portfolios, meaning you're going to Edward Jones, you're going to Edward R. Murrow, which is not a brokerage, you're going to Raymond James, you're going to all the strip mall advisors out there, they're all doing the same thing. Listen to me, stock nerds and market lovers. I know it's not you. It's your parents. It's your brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and your loved ones and your friends that they say to you casually, coyly at a party or when you get together with them, oh, I don't look at that. You know what? It's just beyond my control. I don't really know what I'm doing with that. And they act ignorant because they're afraid to admit the fact that they're quote-unquote friend has actually royally effed them for the next 30 years. Think about this. This guy was planning, I don't read you the whole story here, this Mr. George.
And we thank you.
A whole bunch of other people like Mr. George were planning to put their kids through school. We're planning to retire on this money. And son of a gun, if it isn't there. This is the moral of the story of what happens when you go to JohnnyBagofDonutsStripMallAdvisor.com. It's the same thing. You think you're on some plan. You think at home, listen to me. You think you're on some trajectory. And you're not. You're being marketed to. And you can't see it because they're really freaking good. If there's one thing that the Johnny Bag of Donuts crowd is really good at, it's freaking marketing and buying off the Congress. Because if they didn't buy off the Congress, you'd actually have fiduciary rules that would protect individual investors like yourself on the other end of this microphone. But because these people take your money and they what do they spend it on? Jim, if they take my money, they spend it on buying off Congress and marketing. And so what you have here...
Gotta use those 12B1 fees, Tim.
12B1 fees in this industry are code for marketing. And it's a kickback. Don't you ever wonder why your parents... And I always use the your parents because I imagine that the people on the end of the microphone have been listening to this to a while now, even though we have a large growing audience that is new every week, that they it's not them because they've come over to our side. They understand what we're doing.
Come over from the dark side.
Yeah, it's their parents and their loved ones that are being affected by this. Now, think about it. You're 25 and you meet up with Edward R. Jones or Raymond R. Murrow James or whatever your crappy advisor is. Yeah, like whatever it is. And Duke Nukem. He'll nuke your portfolio to nothingness.
Duke Nukem. There's the headline.
Yeah.
Duke
Nukem blowing up portfolio since 1975. And so what you have here, you think you're on some trajectory and you're just royally effed. And I want you to think about this week. The market roils with volatility, roils with downdrafts. And think about the pain. Think about the pain that has to be felt by people who have bonds and gold. So you have...
Oh, don't forget emerging markets.
And emerging markets, right? So think about this, Stock Nerds. You've been told that you need a 60-40 portfolio, that you need a 60% stocks maybe, and you need some bonds. And imagine a pie chart. It's a baker that sells you this, not a financial person. A baker sells you this pie chart. You got some equities, you got some bonds, and you got some gold, because that's the herd playbook. In my Mr. George story, you are Mr. George. You're the patsy. Never thinking that everybody else is doing the same thing. You're all getting crushed. And you're looking around, well, who the hell is going to support us? Because Social Security is set up on what, Daniel? Other people working, right?
Other people's money.
Social Security wasn't set up on automation, was it, Daniel? Did Social Security, when it was set up, did it account for maybe less potential workers in the system?
Oh, the demographics were far different.
Right.
And it was never going to be taxed.
By the way, this is why, look, not a political show. This is why you need, it doesn't matter what the job is. Like, you people out there that shied the jobs number. Well, they're not good jobs. They're just hard labor jobs. They're manufacturing jobs. And those jobs can be done overseas by people who are being maligned or raped or pillaged in their villages, or their resources are being raped and pillaged. But it doesn't matter to you on the other end of this microphone, because you're Johnny Snotnose and you freaking know better than everybody. Listen to me, Johnny Snotnose. Listen to me. Those jobs matter, because those jobs are supporting the people who have all these crappy 60-40 portfolios, because they're the ones now paying the Social Security taxes while all these gazillion people retire. Those jobs matter. And it matters even more because they're going to rely on Social Security even more, because if we're in a secular bond downdraft... That's the Louis Rukeyser voice, right? Who everybody claims to have watched, but if everybody really watched him, he would have never gone off the freaking air. Nobody watched him. Nobody conceived a child to him like they do to the sound of my voice every week.
I wonder if him dying had anything to do with him going off the air.
Yeah. I was just about to say, but I wasn't quite sure. I thought he passed. I was going to say, didn't they embalm him?
That sultry, sweet voice is Don Vandenborg, portfolio extraordinaire from St. Augustine, Florida, who we'll get to in a moment. But what you need now, because if we're in a secular downdraft in bonds, and if gold can't find its footing, those portfolios set up by the herd, the Johnny Bagadona StripMallAdvisor.com crowd, those portfolios aren't worth as much. And you're going to have a whole group of people that are reliant. They're under invested in equities, and they have two of the worst performing assets. Well, Tim, that's just one year. Give me 2019 and 2020. And they're going to need Social Security even more. This whole story of you planned on something happening and it didn't occur. My tree story, Daniel. My simple little... I'm holding up like a, what, Danny? A 3x5 for... A 3x5 card worth of newsprint.
I couldn't even believe you could read it. So
yeah. This little tree story is... It's just a perfect, perfect picture.
It's a plan with lots of holes. What if it doesn't...
Well, it's emblematic, Daniel, of... What if it doesn't come true? And hold on one second. I'll give you a whole time to respond to my thought that people are conceiving children to the sound of my voice. They are. I had a joke about
that's why birth rates have gone down so much. They're all listening to you, Tim.
Am I birth control?
It's working.
No, is this the voice that repels? I mean, women are attracted to it, but maybe men aren't. Maybe I've got it all wrong. I mean, gosh, it never occurred to me that it was just attracting all the
legend in your own mind.
I am a legend, period. But think about this. The most dangerous person in the investment universe is the inflexible person, is the person that can't get out of their own way. If you tell me, if you say to the world, I am a value investor, I only buy stocks that are values. What if no values appear for 5 years? Or the stocks that you think are value continuously get sold and you're down 30% over 5 years? Well, your plan's out the window. What if you're the 60-40 crowd and you keep rotating people into that 40% that you're rotating? I'm a rotator because that's how I minimize risk, because I read it on the back of a matchbook. What if you keep rotating into EEM gold and bonds? There's no plan. There's no accounting. In George, in Mr. George's plan, this is horrible radio as I'm flinging this newspaper around. In Mr. George's plan, there's not one iota of accounting for what if it doesn't happen. Mr. George is fooked. That's how the British say it. Like, he's got no other plan. And by the way, stock nerds, neither do your loved ones. If they're with Johnny Bag of Donuts, Strip Mall Advisor, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Ron who takes a ferry, and Paul, whatever the hell his name is that I forget right now, if they all rotate and that's how they control risk and they constantly tell you that you need a balanced approach, I cannot stress to you more this week how dangerous those people are. And it doesn't matter where you go, but you need to go. Like when they say that song, Daniel, girl, don't go away, mad girl, just go away. Have you ever heard that? Don, is that Motley Crue?
That is Motley Crue.
That's right.
Wow.
Motley Crue. Motley Crue said it best. Girl, don't go away, man. Girl, just go away. I'm not singing it right. But that's what you need to do to these people. Don't go away, mad. Just go away. Because their way is not safe. Don, what are some things that you're going to hear this week from the unsafe crowd?
It's never a loss if you don't sell. The market has always come back. Tell me one time when it hasn't come back. And anyway, if it doesn't come back, you've got bigger things to worry about than your money.
Those are some really good things.
That's true, and you may be dead before it comes back, or you may need the money before it comes back. Just a thought.
What if you get caught with a medical emergency or some other emergency in the middle of one of their mantras of, hey, it'll come back, just wait. Well, I can't wait. My wife needs a kidney. Well, okay, we didn't account for the kidney plan, so you're kind of hosed right now. But give us 5 to 10 years and your wife can have all the kidneys she might want.
This is an RIA with a huge book of business telling people that if it doesn't come back, you have bigger things to worry about. That's him being a fiduciary.
Hold on. I want you to just go a little bit slower. Say the same thing you said. Repeat it. And then I want you to expand upon it.
Slow it down for Tim.
No, I heard what he said.
I know.
I heard
what... repeat it for the stock driver.
Well, Don rattled through it so quickly that I want Don to actually break down.
He wants you to enunciate your words, Don.
Enunciate.
Enunciate.
What the hell did you say?
Enunciate.
No, that's not right.
Enunciate.
That's like how you say the wrong. Right. What are those cups?
Good luck.
Danny.
Good luck. Good luck.
Danny's boy
Jeff
wonder.
Good luck.
Hold on, Danny. Say the peanut. Say the cups that are peanut butter and chocolate that come from Pennsylvania. What are they called? What's the brand name?
Reese's.
No, it's Reese's.
It's Reese's.
No, who? Nobody says it like that. Only communists say it like that.
What?
There's nobody who calls it Reese's. Who calls it Reese's? This is what
everybody I know.
Are they dumb?
Wow, you just insulted the whole state of Texas, except for you.
Yeah,
except probably your kids, because you taught them that Reese's.
Don, how do you say the peanut butter?
It's Reese's, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, Danny.
Reese's.
But
Yeah.
I think outside of Pennsylvania, for some reason, everybody seems to say Reese's.
Do they?
That's because everybody outside of Pennsylvania knows how to read and write properly.
No, they right. don't. No.
And right, that's enunciate.
Enunciate.
Enunciate. Jesus, Dan. It's like you got a bratwurst stuck in your mouth. You and Gunlock.
Okay.
Well, Don, can you cover now? Hold on. Let me set Don set up what you're going to say because it's really important that stock nerds understand this.
This was in an article in Forbes, actually. And
oh,
it was,
Jesus. Let's call out. Can we call out the person who wrote it?
Written by, well, he tells fairy tales. Does that?
That's good enough.
Oh, my gosh. That's the dude?
Yeah, another one, yeah.
Wow.
I got one right here. With by him.
How to avoid the bear from catching you. And it tells some really great advice, like go for a walk, get more exercise. And then it wraps up by saying, the market always comes back. Tell me one time that it hasn't come back. And then the coup de grace, besides, if it doesn't come back, you've got bigger things to worry about than your money. Can you believe that?
Well, you can look at historical record and tell. Look, if after the bull run in 1968, you weren't even close to being even until the rally started again in 82. You actually lost 60% of your value, inflation adjusted. So you didn't actually start getting back even and getting some principal back if you've just bought and hold until.
And you're 100% right. We know all the
89.
Numbers, but all the buy and hold people are gonna say are, well, if you weren't in the market, you missed the X best days of the market, your return is gonna be some terrible amount. But what they will never tell you is that since 1960, 22 of the worst 25 days in the S&P 500 occur when you're under the 200-day moving average.
That's, yeah. Hey, well, so the reason I don't like those studies where they talk about that, if you missed a couple big up days, is they're also assuming that when you look at those studies, they're assuming that you rode down for the majority of it. Finally said uncle at the last 10% of the 40 or 50% correction, and then missed the four big up days at the very beginning. I mean, it's nonsense.
It's asinine.
It's crazy. And here's the other thing. So if you just missed that 15-year, 20-year downdraft and you got some principal intact, you can take advantage when
Hold
it does start
to rally.
Hold on a
second. I think Don's snoring. Don, are you snoring?
I think that's a dog. Is a dog at your feet? Is Snickers?
No.
Oh, I hear whistling.
There's
a whistling.
That's
Danny's nose.
Oh, my gosh. Is that your nose?
No, that's not me. It's coming over the microphone. You guys are doing it again. When in doubt, blame Danny. Last time it was Don's computer. He didn't even know it. Don't make me come over there and enunciate you.
for the love of Gunlock. Oh my gosh. Got a little boy crush there. Okay.
Got another good stat for you.
Go ahead.
You ready for this one?
Give it to me.
The overall average monthly return of the S&P 500 is plus 0.89%. Unless you're under the 200-day moving average, then the average monthly return is minus 2.6%.
Oh.
They won't tell you that.
That's kind of ugly.
Nope, they won't hear it.
They won't tell you that because they think this is where the disrespect in this industry comes from. They think you're dumb stock nerds. The 60-40 crowd that works at Edward Jones, Edwards Life Science, that's not a brokerage. Raymond James, I keep naming those two. There's got to be other crappy ones out there, right? Who am I missing? Cincinnati Life. God almighty, if you get your investments from State Freaking Farm, buy the farm. Can't buy the farm. No, they should call it Can't Buy the Farm because your mutual funds came from State Farm, which are just repackaged Fidelity funds, which apparently is getting sued again for mismanaging retirement 401ks, accounts.
Yeah,
401ks. Yeah. So what we're trying to say here, stock
nerds, it's all the same generic dressed up lipstick on the pig.
All the same. It's so here's the thing, stock nerds. You have a plan that you think you're involved with your 401k or your IRA. And what we're telling you is that all these plans are the same, and there is a really good chance. Imagine the people that, of course, because we're humans. That is Don's computer. We're humans, and we only think about ourselves, except Mother Teresa and maybe a couple other people. Gandhi.
No, Gandhi.
Ronald Reagan.
There you go.
I'm trying to think of some other people that don't think about themselves. Heard that Woodrow Wilson was a self-centered
He was.
Was he?
Oh, my God. Big socialist, too.
I made that up. I was just joking. Yes. You're going to go down that road? Okay. Yeah, no, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there. Let me pull you from the train tracks, because I was joking. I was joking. God, really? Woodrow Wilson, self-centered?
First, yes.
Dude, now I'm curious. Go ahead.
He was not real nice.
Really?
Yes.
We should trash the hell out of Woodrow Wilson's
goal. He was also one of the very, very, very first progressives.
Really?
He started the progressive
movement. I thought
the
first progressive was Flo, that lady who keeps trying to sell me insurance.
That's his great-great-granddaughter.
Oh, my gosh. They should work that in. They should totally work that into a commercial. I'm down with that. So you think you've got
this. Her name's Flo Wilson. You know that?
So you got this plan. And the problem is we're so self-centered as a society. That's not derogatory. That's just being honest. Like, that's why people need Facebook to send you phone pop-ups so you know who the hell's birthday it is. Nobody's remembering that anymore. It's not written on anybody's calendar. You got a Facebook thing to tell you, oh, by the guy, that person you married, it's their birthday. Oh, no. And so we're so self-centered that you think, you know, we're so self-centered to think, well, none of this bad stuff that Tim and Don or Danny are talking about would ever happen to me. And I just ask you for 1 minute to step back and go, do you think nobody was 45, 50, 55, 60 in 2007 and 2008? How many people died under the stress, under the stress, and I'm being serious now because I actually do have some experience with this a little bit. How many people died under the stress and under the weight of the financial burden that came after they worked a lifetime with their significant other to build a lifetime of wealth and comfortability for them and their children, and it was gone in a heartbeat? But they've got some telling them that, hey, just hang on. Hang on to what? Because there's no discipline. There's no point where you can actually change your mind at Edward R. Jones and Stephen Hawking or what the hell's the other one? Edward Jones, Raymond James. I don't know where Stephen Hawking came from. Was he a broker? Probably a crappy one,
no,
too.
No, he was the kind of astrophysicist.
Oh, he was crappy at that, too, probably. Probably a worse
brief
broker.
Brief History and Time. You got to read it.
Well, that's a brief history in time when these strip mall advisor guys were ever right. I'll tell you that much. Brief history in time. The point being here that the people that suffered in that dot-com implosion that a lot of those a-holes like to make fun of, if you just held on, it'd have been okay. Yeah, people really suffered through that. It just wasn't you. You can be so cavalier about buy and hold because it wasn't you or your parents or your loved ones or your friends' loved ones that actually had the stress kill them. I don't think Don is far off here. I'm going to come off the path a little bit. I believe that Louis Rukeyser died because he came off of television. He lost his purpose. Joe Paterno died when he stopped coaching. People do die. I don't think I could ever stop working. I need to wake up every day with a purpose. And a lot of you out there probably understand that if the people that you love, that you know the best, if they ever stopped working or having a greater purpose, that would probably be the end of them. Everybody knows somebody like that. And you can't tell me that there's not a better way. How does a 20% correction start? With a 5 and a 10% correction. And Danny likes to say, and I'm going to butcher it, so I'll give him a chance to clean up the quote, which I'm about to butcher, that if we just miss one or two major drawdowns, our clients are going to be light years ahead. I don't think Danny's ever said the word light years, but that's where the
paraphrasing. That was Buzz Light.
Yeah, that's where the paraphrasing comes in. And look, it's okay to have from where you were. It's okay to have a 5 or 10% drawdown. I don't think that's going to happen. That's the price of admission to the game you're playing. But when it gets beyond that, and you're not switching around. And by the way, it's never too late to switch. Well, maybe actually there is. That's kind of a falsehood there. You have to be able to be mentally agilitized.
Agile.
I wanted to say agilitized. If you don't get the game that we're playing, Stock Nerds, for the new viewers, see, this is where we have to stop the show for a second before someone thinks I'm really dumb.
That ship is sailing.
I know. Long-time listeners liked it. Long-term listeners know that I try to make up the most words I possibly can on this show.
Try to slide them in there and see if we'll bite.
See if Danny actually thinks it's a word. Don then comes down as the voice of the dictionary and then makes a ruling. That's the running joke. But I fear that because so many people, by the way, record video views this week.
Cool.
Yeah, real cool. And the podcast keeps growing. And so I fear that people are going to actually think that I think agilitized is a word. And the pause.
If they've been listening to the show for long enough, why would they doubt it?
Right. Exactly. That's the joke. That's how well we're doing it. And I had a pause because I couldn't think of an alternative way to say agile, and agilitized was the only thing that popped in my head.
You knew that was too bad.
I'm like, agilitized? That's the only thing I've got? Because in my mind, I'm about 5 to 6 seconds ahead of what's coming out of the sound of my voice.
And therein lies the problem.
When you're trying to sneak in the fake words, it's a little difficult. But
androgynous.
It's androgynous.
No, extrogenous.
Oh, extrogenous.
That's a Hall of Fame.
That was a pretty good one.
That's a Hall of Fame
that
word.
That was a pretty good
one. Yeah, that is a Hall of Fame fake word.
I had to think about that one at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, I hit the buzzer. But I had to wake about 10 seconds. It's like that music show on TV where they turn around in the chair.
Extrogenous was a really good one. That was a good one.
Can I make a couple?
Oh, yeah, please do. Please do.
Okay. So I've actually got an article that was talking with the same guy that Don was reading about.
No, Don wasn't reading about this guy.
Well, okay.
Hold on. Show me who you're reading about. So show me the name. No, not Johnny Carson. No, Don wasn't talking about Johnny Carson. Okay. He was talking about the guy named Rick who takes a ferry to work.
Oh, okay. Got it. Anyway, so this guy's a big advisor. He talked at
He's not a big advisor. He's a money hustler.
Let me finish.
Okay.
He's got a big advisory firm. He's a big advisor. But what he's really doing
is
he's running around doing marketing and teaching advisors how to market and be asset gatherers.
Thank you.
And he's teaching. And so he had a couple bullet points. The new trend, the mega trends, if you will, like L. Ron Hubbard, right?
L. Ron Hubbard. Dianetics L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah.
Is he
mega trend?
Hold on a second. Is L. Ron Hubbard the fellow who's got all those people in that cult out in Hollywood?
They're in Florida too.
Don, do you know him?
Next door to Don.
No, they are not. Hold on a second. What is that first? What is
Scientology?
Oh yeah. Don. There's no sign. Are the Scientologists in Florida next to the cows that Danny thinks exist out there?
I actually think they're in Orlando.
There's a huge one.
Really?
Oh, I think the headquarters is in Florida.
No.
Or second one, yes.
No, the headquarters is in John Travolta's house.
Where do you think John Travolta lives?
In Hollywood.
Florida.
Really?
He lives in Florida.
Is that because he can park his plane and get
yeah,
no...
Yeah, he's got like a little runway.
And get no income taxes.
707.
You know, you never trust a guy with a bad rug job.
Okay. So anyway, so he's got like 4 or 5 things, and he calls it the adaptability quotient, the AQ. Right, and he's actually doing it at this Certified Financial Planners conference, this big financial planning association. Okay, he's talking about stealth fee compression, so you know, but with the vanguards of the world down to 1 basis point, he said. But the marketplace is still looking for high value, consolidation of firms, decreased advisor headcount. It's tight as people get older.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what one of the things that I agree with on. He said there's friction between the clients and the institutions. He said 65% of the people don't trust financial institutions. I don't trust financial institutions. The 65% are right. The other 35% aren't paying attention. There's an ever-increasing consumer expectation. He said the next generation of clients will pay a fee, but will want value for that without a doubt. And I got to thinking, does that mean this generation were paying a fee but didn't care? I mean, that's insulting. That's insulting mm-hmm. that you don't expect to get some kind of value. Here's what you guys were talking about, the possibility of a down market. Advisors will have to do a risk budget and figure out how clients will hit their goals in case of a down market. Here's a novel idea, a sell discipline. So you don't have to go down with the market or down, you maybe pull back a little, but you don't have to just, you know, I mean, the whole thing is crazy. Here's what the other point you were guys were talking about. He said the big thing is going to be a brand trust. A brand trust is key. So you want branding. Well, that's kind of what we're trying to do a little bit. But he said, listen to this. A study asked if Facebook, Google, and Amazon offered wealth management, would you be a client? Would the answer, without knowing the cost, 51% of the people said yes. 81% were under 40 years old. And I'm thinking, really? So I wonder how many people have had a lot of finance or accounting or read 100 trading books like both you and Don and know all experience. I mean, how do you do that? You want to talk about stripmalladvisor.com and commoditization. You keep talking about that. I mean, that's just lemmings off the cliff. They're trying to drive everybody into one portfolio, like right. You were saying. And I do want to make one more point. You were talking about we've been talking about the 60-40 portfolio for the last few weeks, right?
Right, right.
And the reason it's come under pressure, and they're only up 1 to 1.5% as of last week's show, is because the bonds, 40%, has been down for the whole year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now switch gears. This week, the market took a hit 8, 10%, 11%. So now the 60% took a big bath.
Right.
Those balance funds, I haven't looked, but I can almost guarantee you 80 to 90% of those balance funds are now underwater and a loss for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the people
so
that wrote it.
Yeah, but both sides.
That's what I'm saying.
So anyway, so timing does matter.
Oh yeah,
when you do things, do matter.
You know,
you can't just blindly. Well, seriously, you can't just blindly. Well,
I'm laughing. You know, I'm laughing because when you say timing matters, it just.
Well, it's obvious to you, but
no. I just mean in life. Think about the ridiculousness of somebody that tells you you can't time it, and it doesn't even matter. I mean, just put those two things in a vacuum, and the people Don was talking about, and the person that you're talking about, that's what they're telling you.
Doesn't matter when you go through the stoplight. Doesn't matter
right.
when you go red, green, yellow. Doesn't matter. Just go through it.
Right. Tell someone who's gotten T-boned.
Yeah.
That it does matter. And so the problem lies, if we're having a little more serious of a discussion and not just what I'm trying to do is use egregious examples of things
right.
to bring it to your attention so you pay attention to these things, stock nerds, and you remember them. Because if I came on here and was, today the Dow was really bad.
We'd start calling you Lewis.
Yeah, and nobody listens to that. I mean, there's a gazillion of those kinds of shows out there. We're trying to make you pay attention to things that matter. But to think that you're saying timing doesn't matter, I mean, just think about how off that statement on its own is. But man, I'm telling you, it's really dangerous. It's really because look, at no time did you hear Don, Dan, or myself say, "Look out below" or "Buy the dip." But what we're trying to get you to pay attention to is that you desperately need. Well, when do I rotate out of equities? It's okay to not be in the market. It's okay, and we've raised enough cash that we can. When there's going to be a time to buy, by the way, there always is. And if you can time that, meaning, hey, you set your parameters, and we've documented all this on videos, like what are your parameters? What are you looking for? And when that was hit the other day, yeah, raised some cash and I got some shorts, and I'm going to go over that process here in a minute. And then we also, you know, trimmed on a second day when it was like, okay, yeah, let's trim and save ourselves some hassle here. But we're not looking to stay out forever. What we're looking to do is bypass the storm, evacuate, and then when the dust settles, yeah, why don't we wait till conditions are more favorable? When you go to spendyourmoneyinretirementland.com, they or education land or my wife needs a kidney land.com. When you go to spend your money there, nobody asks, did you ride down 2008? Because we're only taking dollars from people who rode down 2008. No, man. Have you ever heard the phrase work smarter, not harder? Everybody that's affiliated with Edward Jones, Stanley Dash, that's Mrs. Dash's husband. Yeah. What's the one in St. Louis? No, that's Edward Jones, isn't it? The one in Tampa with the ugly football stadium, Raymond James. Like all those types of people. Who's the one that goes knocking on your door still as a business model? That's either Edward Jones or Raymond James. I think it's Edward Jones, where they still knock on your door and do door-to-door sales. I'm not being facetious. They actually do that. No, don't. I'm telling you, they still send out their junior, whatever they call them, and they're going door to door still. I'm not being facetious.
An advisory firm.
What advice are they giving?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think I'd laugh at somebody if they came to my door trying to give me financial advice.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think they'd still be doing it if it didn't work. Maybe it's a good way to learn how to talk to people.
Old boiler room tactics, man.
Well, I'm not saying when they open the door they're putting them in an arm bar and saying buy Dow. Right. I mean, I'm just saying that they go door to door.
Well, boilerplate room, I just meant like cold calling.
Yeah. I thought you meant the high pressure tactics. Look, you're going to need that money at some point. And because we don't pretend that we know what's going to happen. When you say, I want you to think about the arrogance of the stock nerds, and then I'll show you how I contain risk. And Don has his own ways. But we're all centered around the same thing of protection. When you say it'll come back, there's a couple things I want to point out to you. One, how arrogant. Okay? Let's not pretend that we profess to know the next tick in the market. Do I believe in the American economy, American exceptionalism, the American worker? I do, and I believe that most innovation happens in America for a reason. And so, yeah, you can bet on America, but you can time those bets. So how arrogant is it to say it'll come back and then just blindly take other people's money and throw it into the furnace that is the economy? Well, what's going to come back? You know, is it Fitbit? Is it GoPro? Is it Stratasys, Triple D? There's a gazillion of them. Is it Blue Plate Special? What the hell is that? Blue Apron. Is it Blue Plate Special? Is it Blue Apron? Is that going to come back? Is it Sonos? Is Sonos going to come back? The answer is no, by the way. And the other secret that you don't know, stock nerds, is the Ron Pauls. The Ron Ferry and the other guy, Paul, whose last name I can't even bother to remember.
Rudy.
The best Rudy in the world was the one that went to Notre Dame or that serves barbecue in South Texas. Not the one who has a brokerage advisory firm in Illinois. You know, I think his office is in Champaign. And if I'm wrong about that, I apologize. But the best champagne everybody knows is the champagne of beers, Miller High Life.
In the clear glass bottle.
Oh, my gosh. It is absolutely fantastic.
I'm glad you can recharge because I don't know what else goes on in that mind. Just, somehow he always brings it back to the, pulls it back together.
I got you.
Ding, 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 ding. Ooh, look, shiny.
It's 1,000 points of light. The little known secret is about these people is that they don't pick individual stocks. Even people that live in brown houses that live in downtown. Did you get the joke?
Yeah.
They don't pick stocks. Let me say that again. They don't pick individual stocks. They pretend that they do. Because if you read the institutional papers that we're not papers, magazines, these guys brag about it. They tell you it's too hard to pick an individual stock. They don't, we're not good at it. So what do? We buy ETFs, we create ETFs, we buy mutual funds, we create mutual funds, and we just throw a whole bunch in there and hope to God that we get one or two of them right. And if we only take 1% or 2% positions, yay! That's diversification. Sucks in a downdraft. And so you're screwed. Because you're going to get blah and tan your whole life. And everyone out there who's taken the opportunity to listen to this show, I swear to you, and I believe it in my heart, you are not blah and tan. I know you're not. Because you're listening to me. And nobody who is blah or tan ever listens to me. You are exciting. You are the kaleidoscope of colors that make
blah
up the...
Blah and tan, not blonde and tan.
No, blah. Blah. B-L-A-H. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not blah and tan.
I just want to clarify that. Some surfer on the beach might...
You mean Arnold?
It might take your thing.
Or in your world, Gunlock?
I don't think Arnold surfs.
Does Gunlock?
He's a bodybuilder.
Does Gunlock surf?
He probably did.
You think?
He was a punk rocker. You know that. He had a rock band.
Oh, Danny.
He was a wild, wild teenager.
Don, Danny has his baseball card.
No, I just read some article about his past life because they were kidding him. He was very wild until he was like 19, 20, and then all of a sudden kind of shaped up.
So they don't pick the individual stocks because they can't, because they've outsourced all the work. They don't even know how the market works. And you think I'm being facetious, but it's the truth. They have this marketing down, coming back to marketing. They have this marketing down so well that you are under the belief that if you go to the Rudys and the Pauls and the Ricks and the Fairies, that they actually know how the market works. And the truth of the matter is, they're a market middleman. They're a market, as Danny said, they're asset gatherers. And you would never, if you knew the truth, stock nerds and market lovers, you would never take your money or let your loved ones take their money to somebody who was an intermediary for the person doing the strategy.
Well, it goes a little, so not only that, so they'll pick 8 or 9 funds, and then when they bring you for the year, for the annual review, whatever, they'll go, oh, these two guys, these two funds, these two managers didn't do that well. We need to remove them, take them out, and replace them with somebody else. That way it takes the onerous of culpability, of ownership of what happened, off of them. And so it looks like they're watching out for your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those third party, you know, distant managers that didn't do the right thing. It wasn't them.
Right. And they've
actually done that and created that psychological strategy with intent. The higher ups at these big investment banking firms, they know what they're doing.
Yep. And so you really want to think now whether we come back and we skyrocket to new highs, which is like anything's possible, or if we sink down a little bit lower. Many of you aren't prepared for that, and you're and I think a lot of the clinging to the hope of it'll come back is rooted into the fact that you don't want to deal with the reality.
Or you don't know what to do.
And the worst thing, I'm going to get into my risk, how I handled the market this week, because I think it's helpful.
Yes.
But what I want to say real quickly, Daniel, then you'll probably have some thoughts on it.
Real quickly.
that the thought that when you hear a commercial or somebody tell you the phrase, based on your risk tolerance, they say the words your risk tolerance. It's three magical words that they tailor things to your risk. I will tell you, and Danny had to beat this into my head until I saw it in person, that there are people out there who have extreme appetites for risk when the market is going higher. And then all of a sudden, when the market has a pullback, they're Punxsutawney Phil.
Right.
Did they see their shadow crawl back in the hole? Ho, ho, ho. I don't know what that ho, ho, ho was. It's more like Santa Claus. I don't think he hides. Not really. I mean, this is Claus.
North Pole.
Well, that doesn't hide up there.
Only comes out once a year.
Well, maybe he is.
At night.
Hold on a second. Is Santa scared?
I think so.
I think he is. I mean, you're right, Danny. He hides.
I think he's self-conscious.
Well, is he working or hiding?
I don't
I mean, no one can see him.
I don't know.
Or is that Jesus? I get the two confused. They both have the same birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
If Don, if you,
wide point. Let's keep
if
going.
If you would have seen the look on Danny's face, Don, if you, I mean, the his eyes actually crossed.
I'm just wondering. He said he was a good Catholic boy all his life. I'm just trying to say, did you pay attention when
it's
you went?
Chapter 11, where they have where they talk about the two birthdays and how they go to each other's parties. Mm-hmm. You never. You didn't
I thought you talked about Chapter 11, the Catholic Church. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, bankruptcy joke? Wow, that took me a few seconds. So, your risk tolerance is such a worthless phrase. And because many of you don't understand your risk, meaning you don't understand your exposure to markets. And when the market's doing great, stocks are going up, you seem to want more risk. But the moment the market's pulling back, you know, why aren't you selling or should we be buying more? And I...
Well, so people's risk tolerance changes
right.
over time and changes with the flow of the market.
Right.
It's not a static...
Right.
It's not a fixed number, number one. Number two, it's much more about how much risk is in the asset class or the market itself
there you go.
Than your risk tolerance. It doesn't matter that you're aggressive if the market's crashing.
Right.
You don't want to be aggressive.
But
you're an idiot for
right.
being, or not an idiot, you're no. not being as smart as you could be for not being aggressive. There's times to not be aggressive, and there's times to be aggressive.
Because when someone comes up to you and says, and there's no context of what the market's doing, like Johnny at Bag of Donuts comes up to you and says, hey, what's your risk tolerance? Oh, I want a lot of stocks. Okay, we're going to get you a lot of stocks. And all they're doing is placating you and appeasing you and saying things that you want to hear with the inference that if you own a lot of stocks, you're going to make a lot of money.
It goes a step further than that. They actually, like, again, it's a psychological profiling.
Yeah.
They've actually come up with these questionnaires where you fill out, you know, if the market pulls back 10%, would you go, ooh, I'm going to average down? Another big mistake. Never do that. Or, oh my gosh, I'm scared, I'm going to run. Are you a wimp or are you a gambler, right?
Right.
They're psychologically profiling you, so next time you come in, they can give the wimps a bond fund real quick without a lot of pushback, and they can give the guy that likes to gamble, the gamble junkie, a go-go tech fund, and they
right.
can be done with it. So it's they've actually bastardized what the regulators have kind of codified. The investment banks and the brokerage firms have actually come up with a way. I mean, look, they've got it down to a science. They pay lots of big money for studies on how to evaluate and sell to retail investors.
And it's all
instead of so is investing.
Right.
The problem is a lot of these firms are using your psychology against you.
They've
to figure out
it.
What the, they've what. Ooh, good word, Tim. That is a word.
Thank you.
Rather than just trying to do what's right by the client
right.
and do the right thing.
Right. And so the your risk tolerance is so disingenuous and it's so amazingly dangerous that you really need to understand that. So when does a stock? When does a pullback become a correction? You saw that on Wednesday of this week, Stock Nerds. And so what happened is, and I happened to be doing the video this week when it happened, that you had a massive liquidation. It doesn't matter who. It matters that it took place. And where you see that is in the ticks, which are the buying and selling of the New York Stock Exchange. And so, and it's happened twice this week around the 12:30 time frame, where you broke the 200-day on the S&Ps on a daily chart, which coincided with this massive flush of ticks. And so when you finally, and that was the first really big flush, and that's when the market switched from a buy the dip mentality to a sell the rip mentality. And and they don't tell you when they're going to do that. And they're certainly not going to tell you when they're going to change it back to buy the dip. But even as we converse here and we're talking about this, Friday is not a horrible day in the markets, but there's been some serious damage done. And so now what the market is trying to figure out what it's going to do. Are you going, and I need you to hearken back. I'll do this on the video for you this weekend, Stock Nerds. Just go to revereasset.com. And by the way, if you have any questions on what we're about to talk about or what we have talked about, Dan at Revere Asset is where you go where you want to complain. Don at Revere Asset and Tim at Revere Asset is where you go where you want to compliment. And 855 Real Wealth, where you just scream into the phone, woo, and that'll be fun too. So, go ahead, Danny, what you got?
Well, no, I was going to go, woo!
Oh, there you go. There it is. And so, when is that moment in time? Because that moment changed on Wednesday. And when the facts change, you have to change a little bit. You don't have to, and Danny will jump in here with all in, all out, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But you have to be able to change and say, okay, this is no longer buy the dip. This is a different market right now. The market changed its complexion on Wednesday. And what makes it difficult is, I'm going to use the word hope, for a lot of people, there's hope that earnings will switch the complexion of the market back to an uptrending market. And you just can't count on that.
Yeah, well, you might. I mean, it could.
It could.
But you can't bet your retirement on it.
Right. And so stepping aside in times of tumult is okay. And how you do that is based on your plan. And what we chose to do in two of the portfolios, Wednesday when the facts changed around 12:30, 1 o'clock, you could see, and it's all documented, you can go back and watch the video. When Apple broke the low, they weren't simultaneous. You had a few minutes to operate here. When Apple broke the low of the day for its stock, Apple's the key stock of this market.
It's in all three major indices.
Yeah. When Apple broke the low, it's like, wow, that's really going to flush this thing. And so then we threw on the shorts and sold the several positions because the market, the NASDAQ dropped on its own another 200 plus points. And it, but you don't have to be in front of your computer all day to see that. I mean, if you don't have to, I mean, you could hire us, but 855 Real Wealth. But you can't stand in front of the train and go, no, this is my opportunity. Because you'll get more opportunity. Look, they don't ring the bell at the bottom, which is fine. And you don't need to be there waiting for it either. You can make a very good living doing this if you're okay with capturing the filet mignon of the move, the heart, the rich part of the move. You don't have to catch the tails. Meaning you don't have to sell the very top, and you certainly don't have to catch the very bottom. And if you can do what I just described consistently.
It's impossible to do anyway.
Well, yeah, if you do it, great. I mean, but if you can do that consistently, and that's the key here, then you're going to be just fine. But if you're standing in front of your favorite stock, whatever it is, and it's just getting pulverized, how do you know it's not going to be the next Stratasys or Triple D? You don't. You just don't. And a lot of you are saying, well, my favorite stock's NVIDIA. That's not going away. I agree. NVIDIA's not going away. I don't think Amazon's going away. I don't think...
Well, Microsoft certainly won it, but it was dead money for a decade.
Right. And so there's some stocks that, you know, I agree they're not going away, but maybe they hibernate a little bit. And so you really need to be able to just mentally be able to step away from some of these things.
And Tim, they all come back. And if they don't... You got bitter things to worry about anyway.
Oh my God, I thought you were like an Irish person there for a second. Oh, they'd all come back, don't you?
I am the sarcasm leprechaun.
Sarcasm the leprechaun?
The sarcasm leprechaun, all right.
Yeah. So for us in the shop, what we're trying to do now, by the way, that video was Wednesday night for the timing. Now, what we're doing now is we're looking to see, is this the February weekly bottoming process that's probably going to end up being a W? Meaning you had this ginormous pullback. Then the preceding days, you get some uptrending phase of the market. I mean, just up prices. And then you go back to retest the lows. That's what I would expect right now. As there's price discovery and you're shaking out the weak hands that one of us still stay. If you want to know why the market goes back down the way it does, it's because people are trapped. People are emotional. The market's an emotional vehicle, folks. If you don't understand this, that when you see this onslaught of selling begets selling. Everyone likes to say algorithm, algorithm, algorithm. The algorithms just get it started. Then the people take over. It's like Facebook, except weaponized, you know, where you tell a little lie on Facebook and then it grows into something ginormous. And so before you know it, everybody and their brother's selling. And because there's a stock shortage in this country, meaning there's not enough stocks to match up to all the ETFs and mutual funds that have been created, you get this leveraging effect. And it's
well, you get a waterfall effect.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So just a little while ago, you said, you know, it may come back. Earnings may support it, may come back. But it may not. Well, if it doesn't, that's when you're going to hear all those advisors come out and say, don't worry, the market always comes back.
Yeah.
The big question is, how soon?
And the reason, and one of the reasons I believe that they don't pick individual stocks is simply because the indices change the stocks that are in the indexes because they have to get rid of the laggards. If they don't, the quote that the market always comes back wouldn't be true. Because when they say the market always comes back, they're talking about the Dow, the NASDAQ, the NYSE, the Russell. They're talking about the S&Ps, the big major indices. And what a lot of folks don't realize is that those indices are actively traded vehicles. Some would say the word manipulated, but you get mergers and acquisitions. And that means, well, if we had 400, 500 stocks in there in the S&P 500 and two merged, okay, well, then we have 499. We need to go find another candidate. That makes sense. But a lot of the indices, they actually, there's more getting rid of the laggards.
Right. Well, the Dow's a perfect example.
Yeah. And so you have to understand that that's what that's based off of. So these people don't pick individual stocks. I mean, if they said, well, we'll just buy 30 stocks, well, they could buy the 30 stocks in a Dow, but there's no guarantee that in 5 years, the never sell crowd, Phil Town, rule one.
Well, you know, the last laggard that the Dow got rid of,
GE.
The very last original stock in the Dow.
So what you need to look for right now, I think, stock nerds, is go back to your, if you're so inclined, go watch the video this week on the revereasset.com daily market update. I'll talk about this, but it's either going, I believe it's going to be this W-shaped bottom, and then if it's not, then you got lower
then
to go.
But then you make adjustments.
Yeah, and so
you change with the market.
And so look, for some people, if you're short right now, some positions, and you're caught in the up thrusting phase of the W, the middle part, that's a 200 point move in the S&Ps. If you go back to your charts from February, it's really hard to hold shorts through that. So you want to be nimble to be able to let those shorts go, whatever longs you have
run. Let them go meaning sell.
Yeah, sell.
Let
your longs run and then potentially reestablish for the next part of the W down.
And you could stay somewhat conservative by not reinvesting the cash. You can also have some cash on the side.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely should. And so because why should you have some cash? Because what if I just told you it was all wrong and it's a V-shaped recovery and we go back to new heights?
So for the most, I'm going to put my Tim Turbert on. For the most part, up until just recently, we've been almost fully invested for a while now. It's been a good market. And just recently, with this market volatility, we've started to raise more cash. In the last few days, we raised a lot more cash and put on two shorts. Don, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Don didn't do the two shorts, but he had a lot more, he raised a lot more cash.
Different strategies. And so, but either of them contain risk. And so what you're trying to avoid is those big 15, 20, 25% corrections that can occur. Listen, if it's a 15 or 20% pullback in the indices, Danny, what's that effect on stocks? It's 2x or 3x.
Oh, yeah. It's much harder to get, yes.
Stocks pull back much sharper than the indices do. And right. So a lot of people lose sight of that. They just hear, oh, it's a 10% or 15 or 20% correction, and they don't account for that's actually a 20 to 30% drop.
On some individual stocks.
And especially in growth stocks.
Right.
And so, and then someone will go, well, that's why I only do those value stocks. No. Your value stocks were down 30, 40, 50% long before.
Well, and what you don't account for is Apple and Amazon and these other stocks have gone up five times as much as the value stocks when the market went up.
So that's the other thing, too. So, but that doesn't mean everything isn't working. And so as before we end the show here for this week, Don, some thoughts of yours and then anything you like looking for next week and what are you expecting?
I'm down to five holdings at like Danny mentioned, about 65% cash in the Grotexion portfolio. I'll just talk about the five that I'm holding. VNOM, oil stock, BA, Boeing, still holding that. CF Industries, fertilizer stocks have done held up very well after having a decent run. Amazon, the weakest of them, but it is Amazon. And Apple, almost back to where it broke down. Interesting to see if that breakdown area is going to be resistance on Apple or not.
Yeah, agree. Danny, any thoughts? And give him the credits as I give him what we bought this this Friday and what I'm thinking.
Well, folks, you want me to give them what we bought?
Yeah. Danny, just okay. Do your normal part of the show.
Folks, if you like what you heard, you can tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Just go to revereasset.com. Check out our research. You can sign up for our daily market newsletter that goes to your inbox every day after the bell for about 10, 15 minutes, quick and neat. It also will send you this podcast you're listening to now. You can call us at 855 Real Wealth Old School, or you can just email any of us, Dan@revereasset.com, Tim@revereasset, and Don@revereasset.
And so it's interesting, stock nerds, before I give you what we just bought. There's not too much talk of it, but stock buybacks stopped pretty much in earnest last week and this week, because the major companies that have the buybacks are about to report earnings. There's about a three-week window where they can't really buy back. They're not supposed to be buying back their stock to manipulate their earnings process. It's kind of, I think it's a gentleman's agreement, because I've never seen anybody prosecuted or how can they tell, right? I guess you have to register them. But so if there is more selling, the companies that are in there supporting their stocks,
can't support, right?
Like the biggest buybacker of them all, Apple, and you're seeing what's happening. And so when those buybacks kick in, if they're still priced low, I would want to probably buy that.
Yeah, sure.
Because
sure.
I want to buy where the institutional investors are buying. And the institutional investors in this case are, in fact, the companies themselves. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what's happening.
And likewise, you want to sell what the institutional investors are selling.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And then what we bought on Friday was a little Mary Jane, the weed ETF, MJ. So with that, stock nerds, we'll see you next week on Your Mind.